May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's a beautiful picture, and chapter 5 is one of two places in the Song of Solomon where, in reaching out to her about something, calling her, this believer, this emerging true worshiper, this believer is slow to respond. And the Holy Spirit's grieved. And so briefly, there is the withdrawal of her conscious experience of his presence. And it says in verse 8, as she's in this now seeking him in light of being passive in response to him, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, as to what you will tell him that I'm lovesick. That's a great way of repenting. Great way to say, forgive me. I love you more than I loved the choices I just made. And their response to her was, what kind of beloved is your beloved, O most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved? We swear, make you swear, tell us the truth about him. Again, there was something about her, even in this place that was difficult, her desperation to restore right fellowship with him did something to the people around her that said, well, what kind of beloved is this that would create such a response? What's the big deal? We compromise all the time. We kind of sort of obey all the time. What's the big deal? And then she breaks out into worship and begins to say all these amazing things about him. Now, she breaks out into worship in the context of having disappointed his heart, having failed him, having not responded to him in a timely way. That's one of the things that makes this passage so amazing. And years ago we talked about this. I did a message called The unbearable absence of the Lord. That's one of the true marks of a person who's becoming a true worshiper, is that when you do sin, you just can't stand it. It's not about, did you get away with it? Are you caught? How much can you get away with? You just can't stand it. And so, just a couple of things I want you to see. I wrote this in a devotional day. The first thing she says, when I said, what kind of beloved is this? She says, my beloved is dazzling, and he's ruddy, and he's outstanding among 10,000. The word dazzling here is a Hebrew word that means something that's so fiercely hot, it's the word scorch or scorching. She said, I'll tell you what he's like. He said, his love is scorching. There's nothing passive about his love for me. There's nothing half-hearted about his love. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is an all-consuming fire. That he loves me fiercely. He loves me relentlessly. He loves me unconditionally. And he loves me with wild, holy passion. Song of Solomon 8 says, his love is like a vehement flame, a fire, the very flame of the Lord, and many waters cannot quench his love. Even says his love is as strong as death. And in the natural, death is the one thing no one can escape. And when you're the object of his love, it's inescapable. But again, it's not passive. It's not, one of the things I wrote, the Holy Lord told me this morning, the Holy Spirit says that, he said, I don't ever feel stuck with you. I'm inconceivably and radically stuck on you. And that is inconceivable. I don't even like me sometimes. He's not stuck with you. He never feels stuck with you. Remember, she's saying this about him in the midst of failing. This is how he feels about me. This is who he is. But then the next thing she says about him is amazing. She says, he's not only dazzling, he's not only scorching. And you know, when you get scorched, it leaves a mark. It changes things. They even talk about the scorched earth program of some armies. That means they just scorch the earth. They don't just kill, they destroy, they burn everything. The Assyrians were that way. Many, sadly, armies have been that way. The scorching has an idea that it alters things, it marks you forever. You're never the same again. That's how fierce his love is. That's how wonderful his love is. And she says it about him because the next thing she says, she said, but he's also ruddy. And the word ruddy is the word red or earthy. She said, he isn't just this amazing God who loves like we can't imagine with great fierceness. And I don't mean that anger, but just fierce, incredible, extravagant. You know, like the wildest hurricane you could ever imagine, a typhoon you could ever imagine. But he's also earthy. He's tender and compassionate in his understanding of us who are still on this earth. You see, Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us. Why did he go through with all that? Why didn't he just show up, die on the cross the next day, pay for our sins, and get it done? Why did he spend 33 years in this fallen world, around fallen people, being tempted in every way like unto us? Because he knows how hard it is for us as fallen people who live under temptation all the time to accept that a perfect God could love us so fiercely and so radically and so extravagantly. And so he allowed himself to be tempted to experience the things of the earth, to be ruddy, so that in the midst of our shame, we could push past our shame and really believe that he understands and that he could still love us with an all-consuming love, understanding how undeserving we are in our imperfections and frailty. Does that make sense? You see, that scripture I read, it says, God wants us to be worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. Again, to worship somebody in spirit is to love somebody wildly. It's to love them back with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To live an extravagant life of obedience and surrender. Again, it's Romans 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. It's the only reasonable way to respond to God is to love him back with the same kind of wholeheartedness. But Romans 12 starts with, in light of God's goodness, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, in light of his ruddiness, in light of how compassionate he is, in light of the fact that he loves you with tenderness and understanding, having been tempted in every way, there's not one temptation that you've experienced today that Jesus Christ didn't steward himself. So he understands the battle. And it's in light of how good he is that we're able to surrender it all. To love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is to understand the truth about him in spirit and truth. And the truth is, he's crazy about you. But he's crazy about you with a full revelation of your imperfection and your weakness and your immaturity. And his fierce, crazy love for you isn't dependent on you getting your act together. He's scorching in his love. He's earthy in his love. And the next thing she says, he's outstanding among 10,000. That Hebrew word outstanding means he's incomparable. There's nobody like him. Psalm 45 says he's fairer than the sons of men. You've never met anybody like him. You've never met a love like that. You've never met a love that's so fierce and so extravagant and yet so tender and so understanding. How can it be both and? He's incomparable. He alone. That's why we sing that song. That's why in heaven they still sing that song. How many songs have those words? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's the only one who is worthy. He's incomparable. I love the Revelation 5. They couldn't find anybody to open the book that would read humanity's destiny. Nobody could open the book. And John is weeping. They finally found one who was both a lion, fierce, but a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And he alone was worthy to open the book and speak of humanity in our destiny. Because he has a fierce love for us that's filled with proven tenderness and compassion. And that's why at the end of this little worship thing that she does, when you get down to verse 16, she said, his voice is full of sweetness and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved. This is my friend. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? That's like one of the great worship stories ever. Lord, give us ears to hear the truth about you so we can be true worshipers. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.